And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered and called not, "My son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be if he call thee that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Amen. We know that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his inspired and infallible word. Let's seek the Lord for prayer. O God, our Father, we come to you. We thank you for the word of God. As we consider your truth today, and particularly think of the life of Samuel, that you would touch our hearts, that we would be challenged by this child who was destined to become one of the greatest men in all of Bible history. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. Today we're going to think about Samuel the seer. The word seer was an old word for the prophet, for the man of God. And Samuel is referred to as the seer. Samuel's name really refers to the God that hears. God hears. Hannah asked the Lord for a son, and the Lord gave her a son. God heard her prayer. And that really sums up Samuel's life, because he was a man who had a very unique and a special relationship with God. And that relationship with God began here in 1 Samuel 3, the passage that we have read together. And I often, is it not, whenever we think of Samuel, we think of the child. It was Joshua Reynolds who painted that portrait, the little Samuel in prayer. And so often that's how we see Samuel. He is the child who was given by his mother, the child who labored in the tabernacle, the child whom God spoke to, the child whom God called, the child who misplaced the call of God for the call of Eli, and he had to be directed to submit his heart to the Lord. Whenever we think of Samuel, we often think of the child who was in prayer. And yet that obscures the fact that Samuel was indeed one of the greatest men. This child would become one of the greatest men in all of the history of Israel and all of the history of God's word. Samuel was the last of the judges. He was the last to rule and govern the people during what we call the theocracy. The theocracy was whenever God ruled the people personally, not through a king, not through a settled government, but through giving his word to individuals that he raised up And these individuals were not raised up according to the hereditary principle. They were raised up by God for a specific purpose at a specific time. The book of Judges contains the lives of these men who were known as the judges, and Deborah, the one lady who was also a judge. But now we come to Samuel, who was the last of the judges and the greatest of the judges. Because the days of the judges were dark times, days of declension, days of departure from God, days of apostasy, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But in the midst of these days, God in providence raised up this child, a child that was born quietly and silently in an obscure family. And yet the child was born so dramatically, as the story of Hannah indicates, because God had a great purpose and a great destiny for this child. This was the darkest time for Israel as a nation. Eli, who was the judge before Samuel, had spent 40 years ruling over the people. He was also the priest of God who served in the tabernacle. And Eli, old Eli, had lost his way. His eyes had become dim, but his spiritual vision also had become dim. His sons were using spiritual office for their own gain and also to indulge and to gratify their own sexual desires. Israel was on a collision course with God's judgment, and God's judgment would come, and the ark would be taken, and Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, would die, and the Philistines would gain a new dominance over the people. And in the midst of these times, these terrible times, these dark times, God raised up this child. Whenever we think of Samuel, we think of the child. The child who became the great judge. The child who would oversee the transition of the kingdom from theocracy to monarchy. The child who would unite Israel in a way that Israel had not been united since the days of Joshua. Who would lay the basis for Israel as a nation, a basis that would continue right up to the Babylonian exile. Israel owed a lot to Samuel, more than they realized in his day and generation. Samuel is right up there, along with Abraham, Moses, and Joshua, along with David and some of the greatest kings. He's right up there with Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, the great prophets. When we look at Samuel, we look at a man that we could spend weeks studying, and perhaps sometime we might. But for now, we're going to look at a story with one message. Let us first of all think about his succoring. God would bless the people through this child because of the love and the devotion of a mother's heart. Whatever Samuel achieved, he achieved because of his mother. His mother, Hannah, was a heartbroken lady, living in a polygamous marriage with her husband's second wife, who had children and who taunted her because she had no children. Husband who didn't really care. And she lived with this. And then there was that momentous day whenever she went up to Shiloh for the feast of the Lord. And she wept sore and prayed unto God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and the verse 10. And she promised that when the Lord would give her the child, he would be given to God. It was a mighty promise. Some people make vows and they don't pay them. It's a dangerous thing to make a vow and not to pay. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. For God will hold you accountable for that. But Hannah made a vow, and she didn't forget her vow. When the Lord gave her this son, She called him Samuel because God heard. And there came that day when she returned to old Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and the verse 17, presenting the child. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent them to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Eli had misinterpreted Hannah. He thought she was a drunken woman weeping in the Lord's house. His vision, you see, was so dim. He did not see the spirituality. He could not deduce the fact that here was a woman broken before God. And how chastened he was when she returned with this child, presenting him with the child. "For this child I prayed." Hannah realized something that no one else realized. That there was a potential in the child. And she raised him for those formative years until he was able to go alone to the tabernacle. And she raised him for a purpose, that he might be a man of God. And she wept over him. She prayed with him. She taught him God's word. And the word was never forgotten. The word remained in his heart. Everything that Samuel did, he did because of his mother. It's an encouragement for mothers. It's an encouragement for parents to pray over your children and to never give up, to see and to recognize their potential. We're living in dark days. But at some stage, we don't know when, God will raise up a child to be a mighty preacher of the word who will shake this country from top to bottom with the gospel. And who knows who that child will be? But God knows. We've got to realize the potential in the heart of a child. It was a most unlikely place that she brought him to. If Hannah had have known everything that was going on in that place, the sin, the debauchery, the wickedness, she would have trembled to have brought him. It was a terrible place to leave a child, even though it was the Lord's house. It was a place of deep and dark apostasy, but God would look after the child, and God would raise the child up from this place to be a great man. John Wesley grew up in a home. His father was a clergyman, but he was always in debt. And his father and mother, they disagreed over politics. His father was a supporter of King William, Prince of Orange, and his mother was a supporter of King James. And yet his mother, Susanna, was a woman of unique spirituality. A woman who prayed over her children. One of her sons would become the great hymn writer, whose hymns we still sing. And another son would become the great preacher and organizer of early Methodism. And between them, they would see thousands of souls won for Christ. Oh, what God can do through a praying mother in the heart of a child is succoring. Let's think about his salvation. Samuel was working and laboring away here in the tabernacle, doing menial tasks, cleaning, tidying, doing whatever the priest asked him to do, trimming the lamps perhaps, making sure that lamp was always lit, doing all of those jobs. But he did not know the Lord. You see that in verse 7. "And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." That's why he didn't recognize the call of God when it came. That's why he thought it was the call of Eli. It is a tribute to his faithfulness, to that heart that was taught to obey. And as soon as the voice came in the middle of the night, he went scurrying off to old Eli You called, Master. Three times he got up and he went, you called, Master. Never a question. Never a complaint. But on this occasion, it was not Eli's voice. It was the voice of the Lord. And while he had been taught to obey the man, he had to be now taught to obey the Lord and to respond to the voice of the Lord. There is a strange symbolism in the verses 2 and 3 of 1 Samuel 3. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. It was just like any other night. Samuel went down to sleep, but the lamp of God was just about to go out. Little did they know it, but a terrible darkness was coming upon the nation spiritually. A terrible darkness. Eli's eyes were waxed dim. Soon they would be shut forever in death. Samuel laid down to sleep, and then the Lord came. And he saved the child. And he gave the child a word. And he called the child to be a great prophet in the land. It was all about the voice of God. As we come to the Lord's house, whose voice are we listening to? Do we come with a heart that wants to hear the word of God? Lord, speak to me. Whatever the word is, whatever you have to say to me, whatever sin you decide to trump on, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to respond to your voice. I'm going to be like this child and hear the word. Have you heard the voice of God today? And then we think about his seal. God sealed his ministry. Look at verses 19 to 21 of 1 Samuel 3. Something happened to Samuel from this moment that God spoke to him. He grew, and the Lord was with him. And it did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, they knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This child became a prophet. He had an authority. But it wasn't the authority of the young man as he was developing. It was the authority of God. God put his authority and his seal and his favor upon Samuel. It was the authority of the word of God. Do you see the emphasis upon the word? God revealed himself to Samuel and Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And as Samuel preached and brought God's word, he didn't preach his own words. He brought the word of God. None of his words, they fell to the ground. People listened and they were attentive because God was speaking through the young man. Then we come over to 1 Samuel chapter 7. And the verses 15 through to 17. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel and all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. And you get the sense of this man being as an itinerant preacher, as Patrick was here in Ireland. Going from place to place, visiting the land, visiting the nation, judging the people, bringing them God's word. He was able to tell the people what no one else could tell them. If you come over to 1 Samuel chapter 9 and the verse 9, we have the moment when Saul met Samuel. And Saul lost his donkeys. Some have said that was pretty symbolic of Saul's life, for he always seemed to be a man who was lost. We'll look at Saul next time. But verse 9 says, as he lost the donkeys, he went to inquire of the Lord's servant. Before time in Israel, verse 9, a man went to inquire of the Lord. Thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went on to the city where the man of God was. They went seeking out the man of God, and as they found the man of God, look at verse 27 of 1 Samuel 9. Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us, and he passed on, but stand thou still a while that I may show you the word of God. Got a word from the Lord for you today. That was the authority. As we come to God's house, the authority is the book. Never forget that. Let's give the word respect. And let's hear what God will say. Let's also think about his supplications. He was a great man of prayer. The very fact that his name is so intertwined with the God who hears. He certainly was a great man of prayer. And we see that particularly in 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7 is the moment whenever Samuel really comes into his own. The ark was taken by the Philistines. It was a terrible moment, a catastrophe. God judged the Philistines because they had taken the ark. The ark was returned to the men of Beth Shemesh, but the men of Beth Shemesh looked inside the ark. They shouldn't have done that. And they too were judged. And then the ark was taken by the men of Kirjath-Jearim, and it was brought to the house of Abinadab. Chapter 7, verse 1. And we're told that as long as it was in Kirjath-Jearim, the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. There was a 20-year period here of spiritual dearth. The time was long. I tell you, when God's not blessing, when the days are barren, when the souls aren't being saved, these days in which we're living in, the time is long. But the people were lamenting after the Lord. They wanted the Lord to do a new thing. And then Samuel stepped forth. And Samuel taught them that the Lord would do a new thing. And we have the revival that took place at Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But look particularly at verse 8 of 1 Samuel 7. The children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. The Philistines were in the ascendancy. Don't stop praying for us. He was recognized as a man of prayer, and the nation was saved, and the Philistines were defeated, and Samuel was consolidated as the judge because he was a man of prayer. And the tide of sin will only be turned in our nation when God's people start praying. Praying, not just with words, but from the heart, crying for God to work. This land needs a people of prayer. And then let's also think about his subjection. Chapter 8 is a rather sad chapter, because Samuel had served the people and served the people well. Then the people, they came to Samuel and they said, give us a king. And Samuel was very displeased in verse 6, because he felt hard done by. He had hoped that his sons would follow him, and I think Samuel was in error where that was concerned. But he felt grieved. He felt let down. He felt unappreciated. He felt discouraged. But he did something in chapter 8, verse 6. He prayed unto the Lord. And verse 7 tells us that the Lord said, hearken unto the voice of the people. Listen to them. They're going to have a king. And Samuel accepted what was God's will. And that is a great attribute. And there are times in life when things will go against us. And things will happen that we didn't plan and didn't intend. And we will feel insulted. And we will feel humiliated. And we will feel aggrieved. Perhaps with justification. But in those times we have to accept the God of sovereignty. And we take the matter to the Lord. Samuel teaches us that. But I also want you to think about his sorrows. Come with me over to chapter 15, the verses 10 and 11. Poor Saul. Saul just couldn't get it right. And of course, Saul himself was a judgment because the people wanted a king. And they rejected Samuel. And rejecting Samuel, they rejected the Lord. And the Lord let them have their heart's desire. He let them have Saul. And the word of the Lord came in verse 10 of 1 Samuel 15. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel had felt in his heart it was not the right thing for the people to ask for a king. Neither it was. God allowed them to have the king. But whenever the king came and the king did wrong, Samuel loved that king. He didn't for one moment think, well, I told you so. He cried unto the Lord all night because Saul had sinned. He was a sensitive soul, sensitive to sin and to what sin could do. And it hurt him to see another failing God. And yet he had to turn his back on Saul because God turned his back on Saul. And that wasn't Samuel being hard. That was him doing what God wanted him to do. At times we have to do hard things, but we have to ensure that we're in the will of God. But at all times, we need a heart of compassion. Whatever sin we repudiate, we need a heart of compassion for the sinner. And we certainly should never treat those that have failed as if we hate them. That is a terrible crime. Samuel did not have that spirit. And let's also think about his sight in closing. Samuel, unlike Eli, his spiritual insight remained to the very end. He never lost sight of God and God's will and God's plan. And God called Samuel to go to Bethlehem, where our Lord would in a later time be born, and to the house of Jesse, and to search out for the new king. And of course he found David. And what a beautiful picture it is. Samuel anointing David, the great type of Christ, with the oil. Samuel shows us the way to Christ. And so should we be signposts to the Savior. But there's something else about Samuel, and with this I close, in relation to his sight. There are lots of indications. We're not going to go into it now, but he nurtured the prophets. For the first time in the history of Israel, you read about more than one prophet. You read about prophets being gathered together. And we know that Samuel certainly nurtured David, and David himself became a great prophet. And there arose this great tradition in Israel of the schools of the prophets. Many were trained and skilled in the things of God. And in that, Samuel laid down a foundation for Israel's future. And others such as Elijah and Elisha, and others too, would walk in that tradition. In the Word of God. Patrick left behind him a legacy that we have today. And others have done that. And we should ensure that, like Samuel, we leave behind a legacy of truth. We began by talking about the child. But Samuel was always the child. Even as the great judge, statesman, he was the child. He was always God's child, obedient to God, seeking out God's word. And today, he's still the child of God. Before the throne of God above, reunited with his dear mother, Hannah, rejoicing in his Savior. And so shall we, if we too have heard the voice of God. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the ministry of Samuel. Give us such a ministry, and give us such a heart, and give us such a spirit. Write your word upon our hearts, for Christ's sake. Amen.